Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the 3rd of November, 2021. And thanks so much for being with us today, or if you're listening on the archives. We archive every show, including this one, over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our website for our Consortium for Equity in Education. If you go over there, you'll see every podcast we've ever done. Okay, under the podcast link, you'll see our wonderful magazine that comes out every other month, which is called Equity and Access, which is absolutely excellent. All right, and of course, then you can link over to our new website from there, which is called SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning, and that's at seltoday.org. If you just want to go straight there, it's really good stuff. We'd love to get you guys all involved. Thanks to so many people who go over there all the time, and we're always adding new stuff, so please check it out, ace-ed.org or seltoday.org. The two sites are linked. And we have a wonderful show for you today, thanks to my good buddy David Adams, who's the Chief Executive Officer over at Urban Assembly. And Dave has brought with him, today's a frequent guest here, we're big fans of David and Urban Assembly. He's brought with him a very special guest, the Deputy Chancellor in the Division of School Climate and Wellness in the New York City Department of Education. I just heard a big gong there. I didn't plan that. Okay, that's LaShawn Robinson.
Good morning.
Good morning. That's a riot. You bring your own accompaniment. I like that, LaShawn.
You know, that was great. It's the laptop. It's the background noise. Good morning. I'm here. I'm so excited to be with you.
Oh, I'm thrilled you're here. Thank you so much for being here today. And it's a great day. New York City had your election yesterday. Eric's the new mayor. Ta-da!
Oh, yeah.
Another gong.
Oh, yeah.
Gong.
We have a newly elected mayor.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Don't you think? That's a big deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, welcome to the show, LaShawn. It's a pleasure having you here. And David, welcome to you, my friend.
Larry, thank you for having me, man. I can't think of a place or a person who I'd rather be with right now than Deputy Chancellor Robinson. They're talking about the work that's happening in social-emotional learning. Larry, you've always been a big supporter. It's been a difficult couple of weeks for the field, and so we're really excited to talk about the work that's happening in New York so folks have a good understanding and can be informed in terms of the things that they're asking around high-quality SEL.
Exactly. And Dave, you just made an interesting comment. You know, it's been a tough couple of weeks. Just elaborate on that for a minute or so, just so put that into perspective. Again, it's November 3rd, 2021. Just do that because you're a big SEL guy. So put it into perspective,
yeah.
That comment. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I know we've been looking at the news. We're looking at the races across the country in terms of how education has been centered. And the role of parents in education, the role of public schools in general at pursuing the common good, these things have all been questioned. And I think that if we come to this work in an informed capacity and we understand the role of social emotional development, academic outcomes, and our ability to be in community, then I think we can be a little bit more informed in the kind of conversations that we're having and be a little bit more constructive with some of the challenges that we're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. People tend to misunderstand terms. I'm going to say it that way, and it's great to put parents in education. That's great. And what's not great is to put politics into education, if I may say that. So let's not mix up the two things. All right? You know, social emotional learning, I'm a big supporter of it, as you guys know. We have that our new website, okay? This is huge. All right, and it's the right thing to do, and let's all stay the course. That's all I'm going to say. Don't let the politics get in the way of a good education, okay? And I'll say that. You guys can just stay neutral on that sort of thing, all right? So now let's talk about prioritizing social-emotional learning in the nation's largest school district, which, by the way, is the New York School District. LaShawn, you're deputy chancellor. I think you're like third person in line to the throne. Is that correct? That's amazing.
Something like that, yes.
Wow, it's huge. Okay, tell us about your background real quick. And it's a Division of School Climate and Wellness, and I think that's real important. Just put those things into perspective, and also yourself.
Oh, sure. So first of all, let me just officially thank you for inviting me to participate this morning. And, you know, I have the honor of working in the nation's largest school district, supporting over 1 million children in my role as deputy chancellor. And I come to this role with a background as a former superintendent, former principal, social worker. So shout out to all of our mental health professionals out there in the field. So I come to this background with a really unique perspective on what it means to create the conditions for high-quality teaching and learning to occur. And I had the opportunity to be the founding deputy chancellor of the Division for School Climate and Wellness. And our mission is to ensure that schools are safe, supportive, and affirming environments that create the conditions for students to thrive academically, socially, and emotionally. So within this division, I have an opportunity to oversee six huge offices, and those offices include equity and access, community schools. You know, maybe your listeners are familiar with the Community Schools Initiative, the Office of School Health, overseeing all of the nursing across our public schools, safety, youth development, athletics, health education, physical education. That's just some of the work that I have an opportunity to oversee. And, of course, the portfolio includes areas such as social-emotional learning, mental health and wellness, counseling, crisis support, equity work, and more. So, you know, I do this work with a phenomenal team every day. We also have a partnership with the Department of Health where we oversee on-site mental health clinics in schools, trauma-responsive practices. We've been working a lot on adult social-emotional learning and wellness more. So it's a pretty extensive portfolio, but I could not do it without the support of our principals, our teachers, our central team, and just great partners like David Adams and the Urban Assembly.
Yeah, you do have a great partner there. It sounds like the others do. You said something that struck me. You said about the Department of Equity and Access, which is exactly the name of our magazine. I don't know if you're familiar with our magazine. I'm going to send you a note after the show. It's a magazine that we publish every other month called Equity and Access. It's at ace-n.org, our consortium at equity. So I'm going to make sure you see that because it parallels the name of that department you mentioned. All right. And my only other question before we get into this, LaShawn, okay, when do you sleep? That's a huge job.
I have no idea. Well, I show up every day in service of our 1 million children.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You know, I have a great team, but we put a lot of work in, especially now with what we've been through as a nation and as a city, New York City being the epicenter of, you know, what we experienced through this pandemic. So we certainly didn't get a lot of sleep then, but we know that this work is the right work at the right time.
Right. It is, and it always is. And you're developing on that. Let's get into this, and then we're going to talk about your relationships with Dave and Urban Assembly in a few minutes. But there's a major initiative that you're spearheading, all right, and it's called Strong Resilient NYC, New York City, or Strong Resilient Apple, if I may, okay? And talk about that, the partners in it, okay, what it's all about, et cetera. How's it going to work? What's the goal? Strong Resilient New York City, NYC. LaShawn.
Yes, we're spearheading a major initiative right now.
Huge.
That will touch all 1,600 schools and our 1 million children. We knew, you know, that coming into this school year, being back 100% for in-person learning, we knew that our children experienced a lot during this pandemic, the loss of routines, the loss of consistency, the loss of social relationships.
And if I may, the loss of family members. A lot of kids don't forget that. It's terrible, you know?
Absolutely. The loss of family members and loved ones, housing instability, food insecurity. So we knew that we could not go back to business as usual. We need to do the work that this moment calls for. We knew before the pandemic, but certainly during the pandemic, that mental health matters. Mental health is health. And in this moment, more than ever, our children are relying on us to get it right. So we are spearheading Strong Resilient NYC to build on years of investments across our system and socio-emotional learning and restorative practices. And the goal of Strong Resilient NYC is to advance what we call the multi-tier system of socio-emotional learning support in schools.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
ensures that every child gets what they need in every classroom, every day, foundationally, that socio-emotional learning is a part of every student's experience. And then when a young person needs more, whether in a small group or one-on-one support, we're able to provide that young person with support. We know that our children should experience schools as, again, safe, supportive, and affirming,
yes.
a place of community where they build relationships, process their emotions and lived experiences, and really develop the foundational skills to thrive both in school and in life. So what we're doing through Strong Resilient NYC, we are expanding foundational tools like curricular resources. We released earlier this year a Bridge to School plan, which includes classroom activities and community activities, family activities, to really strengthen community in schools and foster resilience in our kids. So we're building on those kinds of programming. We're also building on programming like social-emotional programming like Harmony, which is one of our primary partners, restorative practices, which we have across all middle schools and high
mm-hmm.
schools, RULER, another partner. And then we've invested heavily in our health education programming so that socio-emotional learning lives in that space. And what we're doing with the Strong Resilient NYC, we're layering onto those existing supports the introduction of the DESA, which is a strengths-based assessment of students' socio-emotional learning skills. It was really important to us to really lean into the strengths of our young people, to talk
mm-hmm.
about areas where they're strong and, you know, leaning to a place where they can be affirmed, and then to also talk about, okay, here's an area of growth, a place where I want to continue to develop strengths. So we're really excited about this strengths-based assessment. But the DESA is a tool to help us
right.
to be able to, you know, think about in terms of curriculum and classrooms. As a teacher, how do I take a look across all of the students in my class, kind of take a look at where the strengths are, build on those strengths through curricular supports and resources, and then
yep.
areas of growth. How do I teach directly to those areas and get young people
yeah.
involved in setting goals for themselves? Like, this is a social-emotional learning skill, goal setting.
Absolutely.
Tying this, the goal setting, to what we're learning through the DESA assessment and having targets and then providing young people with supports to reach their goals. That's the work that we're talking about through the DESA and using the DESA to have information so that we have where data are informed and we're being strategic in what we do here in New York City.
And your definition of all that,
also,
I have to tell you something, your definition of all that was just beautiful. And that should be recorded and played in every school district in the country, okay? Because people who are against this obviously have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, I just have
no,
to say that was perfectly
yeah,
said.
Yeah, we have some, thank you, we have some really strong schools across New York City, our urban assembly schools. They've been successfully
yeah.
implementing this work, and we're so excited to partner with Aperture Education. They support the work
oh,
of
yeah.
the DESA instrument. So we're bringing the best and the brightest, you know, here to New York City public schools to support us. So we're grateful to have those models to learn from and to continue to partner to bring our children and our families the absolute best.
I know the folks at Aperture, and that's just excellent SEL programming, I have to tell you, and always
mm-hmm.
has been, and they were cutting edge from the beginning. I have a question on the DESA. Okay, what does that actually look like, if I may, and how do you administer it, if you do, to a million kids? All right, that's huge, okay? But I don't know how it's done. What's the process, if I may? LaShawn.
Absolutely. It's a very short assessment. On average, it takes the teacher administers the assessment. So it takes the teacher about 2.5 minutes to complete the DESA for one child. And teachers are often completing it for their classroom of students. So we focus on the adult who knows the young person well to complete the DESA. And once they complete it, you know, it's completed digitally. And once they complete it, the information is readily available.
Cool. And does it? And I just have to ask you, I was a teacher many, many years ago, okay? You know, an elementary school teacher has access to all the kids, so to speak, all the subjects, so to speak. But in high school or junior high, I'm showing my age, middle school, okay? In middle school, you know, they run through math, science, English, social studies. Who would administer it there? Would it be the one teacher who volunteers to do it, or would it be one from each subject? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's school specific. So we have some schools with advisory programs. So in those cases, we have many principals who have, you know, selected the advisory teacher to make those, to complete the assessment. We also have young people who are connected to our sports program. So in some schools, it's the coach that's completing the
assessment. That's excellent.
So yeah, and those levels is pretty school specific, and the guidance that we have provided is that it should be the school-based staff member who knows the student well.
And once a child is assessed, okay, then what happens? What's your process from that point on?
Sure. After the young person is assessed.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say, you know, where you assess the child may have a challenge in a given area, whatever the case may be. What happens then? Who makes that determination? Oh, we got to get this child to a school psychologist. We got to make sure that he's in touch with a college counselor, whatever the case may be. Okay, what happens from there once they're assessed? It's great.
So it's important to note that the information collected from the screeners, their health individual level, so with an individual young person, and on a school-wide level. So for individual students, the information will help us quickly match students with appropriate mental health resources. And that might be a conversation with a caring adult or a referral to a school social worker or the school-based mental health clinic. It can be partnering with the family to think about appropriate community supports. So that's what happens on the individual level. And for classes or for the entire school, the information can help guide programming and investments in additional social-emotional learning or mental health resources. So the screener information, it doesn't diagnose students, but it points us in the right direction in terms of how to go about best supporting our young people.
Well, absolutely. You're getting a deep dive into that kid, all right? And it's good, and we move forward from there. And I'm going to swing over to Dave for a minute. Dave Adams, my good friend and CEO of the Urban Assembly. Just tell everybody quickly, Dave, how you're involved with all this. And you guys are the SEL experts. You can carry that expertise across the country. But tell us how you work with New York City and how you're involved with this.
It's a great question, Larry. Let me first start off by saying Deputy Chancellor Robinson mentioned she is the inaugural Deputy Chancellor for the Division of School Climate and Wellness. And when I heard that there was going to be a Division of School Climate and Wellness, I woke up and said, this is our time, right?
Okay.
I said,
this
is the time to really integrate the concepts of social, emotional, academic development into a coherent practice for the city. And unfortunately, we had a pandemic that came through and devastated our community. And the result of that pandemic was a consensus, as well as federal funding, that we could no longer tack social and emotional learning on to what it means to be an effective school. New York City had, as Deputy Chancellor talked about before, had already invested in really high-quality programs, had been working with Harmony and Ruler. They had been doing work around Second Step. But we hadn't had the opportunity to really take this to a scale that the concept of social emotional learning deserves. And so coming out of that pandemic, it became really apparent watching students in remote learning, having conversations with some of the challenges that they were having in terms of mental health, that this was no longer an option. It was no longer something some schools could opt into. It was a requirement of what it means to support young people in education. So with that, we were in conversations with Aperture and the DOE, went through a competitive bidding process to identify how we could support. And as Deputy Chancellor Robinson talked about, we were able to really use our schools and lift up this notion, as we talk about, Larry, innovation within public education. We didn't have to translate this from a different sector or a different country or a different state. We were able to say, these are our schools and these are proof of concepts. And we're happy and willing to show what this could look like for young people who have an opportunity to support their enhance their social emotional strength. So very blessed to be in relationship here with the Department of Education, and very blessed to have this opportunity to see this division grow, stretch their wings, and improve learning outcomes, social emotional learning outcomes for all kids in our city.
Yeah, and by the way, I have to say something. Urban Assembly's been doing that for a long time. You always believed in that, Dave. Okay, and you worked with 23 schools within New York, and you've always literally put your money where your mouth is, okay? And it's just absolutely incredible the work that you've done, and it's wonderful that New York has moved this out to all their schools, okay, and understood that this has to be in SEL has to be incorporated, okay, into the work we do with students, okay, and that's all about. By the way, LaShawn, I didn't realize you were inaugural Deputy Chancellor of the division, okay, of School Climate and Wellness. Congratulations on that, and Dave, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
The ongoing stuff you're doing. You're welcome. Okay, that's really cool. You're number one. Okay, you're the first. You're the George Washington, if I may, of the Division of School Climate and Wellness. Congratulations, LaShawn. That's
Thank
really
you,
cool. All right, it's just amazing. And Dave, just comment for one second, okay? Yeah, I would bet you, okay, that you've been working with those 23 schools in New York for a long time, and I bet those kids did better during this pandemic and the social emotional needs that went through. Am I right, Dave?
Yes, and Larry, we all struggled, but our kids activate their SEL strengths, right? They remember how to develop relationships. Our advisories were strong. And you know, we talk about from our kids to all kids, right? There's nothing special about Urban Assembly kids that can't be special about all New York City kids.
That's right.
If we support them in the right way. So I'd like to say, you know, while we all struggled, we saw advisories where engagement was high. In the midst of the pandemic or remote learning, where folks were really struggling to engage students, high-quality relationships made sure that our students were engaged. And that is the kind of example when we talk about innovation that we need to continue to lift up, right? It doesn't make sense to have to reinvent the wheel. Let's just work together, figure out what's already working, scale what's working, and then make things work together. So I feel blessed, again, to be in this opportunity because our kids, our schools can serve as an example. And we can also learn from other people who are now going to innovate at this at a scale that we've never been a part of. And now we can look at what that looks like across the city, different places in the country, and then we can take that learning back and be even better for our young people in Urban Assembly.
Yeah, and your point is well taken. Let's stop reinventing the wheel. It's just absurd. We've been doing that for too darn long. Talk to me. This is an interesting challenge you have, LaShawn, in many areas, but I find this one really interesting. New York City is so diverse, okay? You have every possible nationality in the world there and cultural backgrounds, all right? And, you know, SEL is a different way to look at school. All right. And, you know, and it's, again, it's going to be incorporated in. I understand that. Just talk about how that works with your English language learners, the folks who are from cultures where they don't really get involved with school like they do here in the U.S. Talk about what you're doing with the wide diversity of learners in New York.
Yeah. So what we try to do is we start with the importance of SEL. So why social emotional learning? And we start with the why at the school level, but also certainly with the family and with our young people. So we talk about the benefits of CEL and what CEL is all about. It's about personal responsibility.
Yeah.
It's about optimistic thinking, goal-directed social awareness, relationships, self-awareness. So when we begin to have those conversations with our families, whether we are, you know, engaging with our multilingual learners or our young people in special education or other families who, you know, may have, may not engage in the same norm language around social-emotional learning, then they certainly understand and they want their young people to be socially aware, self-aware, to develop strong and healthy relationships, to have healthy decision-making skills. So first is starting there. And, you know, the work that we've invested in over the years and the work that we're engaged in now through Strong Resilient NYC, we know that that's going to enable us to create a common language to talk about social-emotional learning across our school district, to talk about the skills, the focus of the work. This work will help us to identify students that may not otherwise be on our radar. Like, you
That's
know,
right.
some of our, I like to say, is young people who exhibit internalizing behaviors, like our silent sufferers. Right. So when you have that conversation with the diversity of people that we have across New York City, they have a better understanding of the work, and they are more invested in this work and why it's important.
And their kids are going to do so much better when you get this going. I must ask, LaShawn, there's another challenge here. It would be really the same challenge, but with different people, the teachers, the faculty, the staff. They also went through, pardon my expression, they went through hell the last 2.5 years, too. Okay? And, you know, they had their own losses. They had their own trauma. They had their own completely different workplace. Suddenly they were not in school anymore. They were, one day they're in school, the next day they're teaching everybody at home on the computer. I mean, it's been tough for everybody, school staff, teachers, et cetera. Okay? So, you know, when you talk about social emotional learning, we're asking them to do something that they've really never been trained to do. That's why such great companies like Aperture are there to, you know, to make that happen, all right, and make it easier for them. But what about the SEL? What are you finding with the social-emotional needs, if I may, of faculty and staff?
So first and foremost, just thank you to New York City educators.
Yeah.
Thank you to every principal, every teacher, every school counselor, social worker, custodian, school safety agent.
Yep.
I just thank you to our entire New York City community because this work is about all of us. It's not just the responsibility of one person in our school building. So we're so thankful and grateful for the commitment of our school staff members for making sure that every student has access to appropriate mental health and wellness support. So we see this as something that we all have to engage in together. What I appreciate about the Strong Resilient NYC initiative is that it's not just on a single social worker to step up to be the hero or the shero in this moment. It's about what the school community is going to do when they come together. It's about the teacher that's going to complete the assessment, the team, the school-based team that's going to come together and analyze the data, how we're going to partner with families to talk about the information that we're seeing. We're going to work together to get young people support when they need more support, and then we're going to make adjustments in curriculum and instruction to meet the needs of every student every day. Strong Resilient NYC is smart because it means that we're coming together as a community to focus on the mental health and wellness needs of our children, and as a community, we're going to address those needs. The other thing that Strong Resilient NYC takes into account is that just like when we're on a plane and the flight attendant will tell you, you know, in an emergency, that put the oxygen mask on yourself first
Bingo.
Before you go about helping others,
right?
So at the foundation of this work, before we even talked about Strong Resilient NYC, before we even talked about the DESA assessment, we talked about adult social emotional learning and wellness. And how do we take care of the caregivers? We had support groups for adults. We shared resources for our adults, fully recognizing that they must put the oxygen mask on first. We must strengthen community with adults first before we can do this work with young people and families. And we did just that. So we're looking forward to continuing to lean into these strategies and ensuring that we're engaged in this work as a community, because we know that, you know, teachers are not mental health professionals and that it should not just be the responsibility of one person in a school. And this moment, we have to do it together.
We sure do. And I have to say something. I'm just curious about this. This is obviously not your responsibility, but I'm curious about your opinion on this. Everybody, every educator knows that SEL is a very important part of education.
Larry?
LaShawn, you're still here with me?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, I think we lost Larry.
Somehow I got disconnected, guys. Are you still there?
We sure are.
We're still
here. You're like at a wake, you know, when people are like, he was a good man. He always helped out, you know, for the education.
I'm going to listen to the recording so I can hear how my eulogy. Okay, thank you. Okay, I think, but all of a sudden I'm looking at the screen, it says you're no longer connected. Okay, no rationale, no nothing. So I had to call back in to my own show. There you go.
You know, okay. We got you, Larry. You know, I'm always got you back.
Thanks,
man.
Buddy. I appreciate that. You know, listen, what I was going to ask, and you know, I was saying, I think we're missing that we're not training educators in colleges of education about SEL when every school district wants it. Okay, and have you talked to the, I'm just curious about this, and Dave, I can ask the same question of you. Have you talked to the deans of education at the colleges you guys use in New York City, like Hofstra, Rutgers, whoever it might be, CCNY, et cetera, okay? You got to write to Fordham, whoever you're using, all right? Talk to me. Have they thought about adding it in so that it's easier for you when you hire a teacher to know that they understand about school climate and wellness? Well, Sean, that's just my idea for the day.
So we have been engaged in partnerships talking more about what we call SEL academic integration or SEAL work, so our SEL academic integration work. We have also worked closely with our team that engages in onboarding of new teachers so that before our teachers arrive in classrooms to be with our young people, we've been engaged in SEL academic integration, professional development. But we know that now in this moment and the, you know, months and years to come, there will be a greater focus on social emotional learning SEL academic education and our teacher development program.
Yeah, it's so darn important, and the colleges have to jump on board with this and get teachers that really understand it so they can walk in and understand the needs of the district they're going in this case, New York City. It's that simple. Apologies for the little break, but you two are just wonderful. And, boy, I just loved having you. And LaShawn, it's so nice to meet you. I know Dave well. It's so nice to meet you.
You as well. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome here anytime, okay? Anytime we can help you in any way, okay, you let us know. We have a website dedicated to SEL. We have a magazine dedicated to equity and access. We're here for you. Dave, can you attest to that?
Of course, I sure can. I think the work you guys have been doing in collecting some of the top writers in the magazine to talk about what equity means in 2021. Really excited about your focus on SEL and the relationship between SEL and equity. And I'll tell you, Deputy Chancellor Robinson, she came out right up front a long time ago and said that SEL is essential to equitable outcomes in education. So we're two peas in a pod, and we really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the work that's happening.
Can I join the pod? Can we be three peas in a pod?
Absolutely, man. There's always room in the pod for more.
Thank you. I appreciate you letting me into your pod. Thank you very much. That's great. I love it.
You can write it in
super.
Your tonight, Larry. You can let them know.
It's terrific. LaShawn, keep up the good work. You're doing great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Dave, no, you are welcome. And Dave, thank you. Many, many thanks for today's show. Take care, my
You're
friends.
You're welcome. Bye.
Be good. Both of you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take
care. Wonderful people. You're welcome, LaShawn. Okay. Dave Adams is the CEO over at Urban Assembly. All right, and urbanassembly.org, they do great work. And wherever you are, you can talk to Dave and they can work with your school district. Okay, and it's urbanassembly.org. LaShawn, Dr. Robinson, is the Division of School Climate and Wellness in the New York City Department of Education. She is the Deputy Chancellor for that division. You heard all the wonderful areas under her bailiwick. They're just incredible. I'm so glad they're doing this. All right? And we'll archive over at ace-ed.org, where you can link to seltoday.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.